Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But for now, we are returning to the tariffs expected tomorrow, which could do lasting damage in this country and to the United States and the global economy. And we're joined from Washington now by Chief Correspondent with Feature Story News, Simon Marks, to look at the politics driving all of this. Simon, good to have you with us. We're all holding our breath, to be fair, waiting for this announcement to be made. What's the sense that you have there? Are people in the same state of suspended animation?
Yeah, I think largely so, Claire. I mean, and that's one of the most extraordinary things about all of these developments. You know, President Donald Trump has said in the last few days that he intends to target, as he put it, all of the countries, every single one of them out there with tariffs. And yet we don't know precisely what he's going to do. The White House, as you know, has played relatively fast and loose with providing any information. The president says he didn't want to make the announcement today, April the 1st, because he was concerned that people might think that it was somehow associated with April Fool's Day. And so everybody waits until Wednesday here. The markets are, of course, already delivering their adjudication, their verdict on this waiting game. The S&P 500 notching up its worst month of trading since 2022. So they are certainly spooked. Individual Americans are concerned as they see the value of their 401k retirement accounts particularly sinking in the wake of all of the market speculation. And supporters of the president are also worried because they can see that this is potentially eking away at his popularity. But Donald Trump is keeping the waiting game going. I've just taken a look at his calendar for the day. The only point on it where he might speak about tariffs at the moment appears to be this afternoon, when he'll be, as he does every single day, signing executive orders. But the big event, we think, is still going to be taking place on Wednesday, although who knows, there may be leaks. There likely will be leaks over the course of the next few hours.
Yeah, there were some people saying that perhaps he might bring the announcement forward, but you're saying he doesn't want to do it on the 1st of April for obvious reasons, as you've outlined. You mentioned there about, you know, his tolerance. So we had that question asked earlier on the programme by the political editor of the Irish Times, who said the big question is, what is Donald Trump's tolerance for political unpopularity? And the same goes for Republican representatives, who we understand they're getting it in the neck when they go home to their home states. But are they bringing that message back to Washington, and is it being heard?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, they are absolutely getting it in the neck. And we see that in the town hall meetings that Republican senators and members of the House of Representatives are holding all over the country when they return to their home districts, whether it's at weekends or during the earlier recess. As to the willingness of many of those Republicans to convey that messaging directly to the White House, they're certainly not doing it publicly. Most of them are keeping their counsel. Some may be reaching out and saying privately to the White House, look, discontent, dissent is growing. We need to get this done if we're going to do it, and make it exactly clear to the American public and the electorate as to why we are doing it. But President Trump's tolerance, certainly for the vicissitudes of Wall Street, appears to be at the moment limitless. His press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said yesterday that the president has always described the stock market as a snapshot for a moment in time, and he's doing what's best for Main Street. Wall Street, she said, will work out just fine. Now, you know, veteran political observers who can remember a thing called the Biden administration may recall that when the stock market was having occasional dips during Joe Biden's administration, at no point did Donald Trump describe what was taking place as a snapshot in a moment of time. But at the moment, certainly, the White House is indicating to Wall Street that it's not going to adjust policy as a result of the sell-off that has taken place in all the three major indices here over the course of the last month.
Well, he's holding firm, isn't he, to this notion that this in the medium term is going to boost the American economy. And his trade advisor, who is Peter Navarro, came out with this fact sheet last week saying that a 10% tariff regime would create 3 million American jobs, Simon. But are people buying that?
Well, Boomtown USA is how President Trump describes the country that he believes that these tariffs will create. And as you know, what President Trump is espousing are policies and consequences of them that have been roundly rejected by every single American Nobel Prize winning economist. They all argue that Trump's calculations are wrong, that these tariffs will only lead to price inflation in the United States, soaring costs of all goods that are targeted by these tariffs, and that you can't simply wave a magic wand and expect international corporate entities overnight to come and start building production and manufacturing facilities in the United States. Donald Trump absolutely disagrees with that assertion and continues to tell Americans that the country is going to boom. This is a transitional bump that the country has to navigate. But, you know, as we saw with some of the proposed Canadian tariffs just a few weeks back that the president then sort of walked back, there are immediate consequences. I mean, the Canadians in Ontario were talking about hiking the price of energy exports to the United States. We saw the price of petrol, particularly in border states, suddenly being raised by 10 to 15 cents a gallon as a result of those threatened tariffs. So the consequences of all this for the average American, if the Nobel Prize winning economists are right and people like Peter Navarro are wrong, will very, very quickly demonstrate themselves to the American public.
Yeah, I just see in the last couple of minutes on our Newswire service that the Washington Post, Simon, is reporting now that White House aides have drafted a proposal to impose tariffs of around 20%, and this is what they say, on at least most imports to the United States. Now, that's pretty much in this part of the world what we were expecting, but that would appear to confirm that everything is going to be hit from every country.
Yeah, a full-scale trade war. I mean, that's very much in keeping with all of the rhetoric and the projections that have been emanating from the White House over the last few days. I think it's worth making the point, Claire, that over the weekend, administration backers were thin on the ground when it came to the Sunday television talk shows. There were very few. I think only Kevin Hassett, the chairman of the Economic Council of Advisers, maybe one other U.S. official, agreed to appear on those Sunday television talk shows, which some observers viewed as an indication that there might be a degree of panic behind the scenes, and the White House concerned that not all the members of the president's inner circle were on board with this idea of waging a global trade war. We know that the EU is going to be very hard hit by these tariffs because of the language President Trump has used recently to describe the nature of that trading relationship. Then you've got countries like the UK desperately hoping that they might be carved out from some of the worst of this. But of course, this is not just an economic war that President Trump is going to be waging against many of these countries. When you look at the impact of all of this on some EU member states, already the tariffs on car imports really hitting Germany very hard. There are political consequences of all of this in those countries that are going to be worst impacted. That is why, for so many American allies, particularly in Europe, this is just so deeply alarming. They view it not just, of course, as a trade war, but as an economic war with dramatic political consequences potentially for those governments as well.
Well, let's talk about political consequences closer to home for Donald Trump, because some voters are going to Florida to the polls this evening to elect a congressional replacement for Mike Waltz. And people will remember that he's the man who we believe accidentally invited a journalist into that high-level military briefing on the messaging app Signal, Simon. This is a red seat. It's a Republican seat, but some polls are showing that it could be a close race.
Yeah, I mean, this is just to give you a sense of the scale of it, Claire. This is a seat that Donald Trump won by a 30-point margin only last November. Here we are in April. And we see the Republican candidate, a state senator by the name of Randy Fine, struggling to eke out a victory over his Democratic Party challenger, Josh Weil. The voters in Florida, of course, galvanized by their respective political parties, because both the Republicans and the Democrats know that this is a bellwether for how even a reliably Republican part of the country is feeling about the early days of Donald Trump's administration. But it's also got the potential to have an impact on the Republicans' slim majority in the House of Representatives. If the Democrats are able to flip this seat, it may lead to the reanimation of the Democratic Party politically, given that most of its leaders have gone to ground since January the 20th and the inauguration. It will also give the Democrats hope that if they can do this in Florida, they can do this in other parts of the country. And that's one of the reasons why President Donald Trump withdrew last week the nomination of New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik to become the next United States ambassador to the United Nations. Because were she to take that position up and be confirmed in it, she would give up her seat in the House of Representatives, and that further potentially would call into question whether the Republicans can maintain, their four-vote advantage in the House of Representatives, depending, of course, on how that Florida race goes this evening. So electoral politics are beginning to come home to roost at the Trump White House, even though it's only been 5 months since Americans actually went to the polls.
All right, well, we continue to wait for that big announcement to come. Simon, thank you very much for being with us once again. Simon Marks there in Washington. After the break, we're going to speak to a reporter about what it's like to be in the room when a prisoner is sentenced to death in the United States, the US state of Southern California. And a warning again, the conversation to come will be difficult. It's a difficult subject matter, and some people may find it distressing, and you may make a choice that this conversation isn't for you. That's entirely up to you, but I did want to let you know that it's on the way.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.